My Lord President, Mr. Chairman, veterans, ladies and gentlemen, I should perhaps correct Lord Prior. You haven't missed the big match. It's not on till tea time. So as long as I don't go on too long and you don't live too far away, you're all right. I don't know whether speaking last means that I'm the top of the bill or the bloke with the shovel behind the Lord Mayor's parade. But from time to time, I am given the task of responding to the toasts of the guests. But I do say guests in the plural. I think this is the first occasion that I've been favoured by my own personal toast. And I'm duly touched because I thought I was honoured enough to merely to be invited to today's distinguished gathering, which, as we know, is billed as the 75th anniversary of the association, which that in itself rather puzzled me because my rather slight research revealed that the association was actually founded in 1928, which either means my information is wrong or that the command of mathematics one might expect from Marconi engineers isn't quite what it seems to be. But at any rate, I am bowled over by the courtesies being shown to me by the way of this toast, and as a result, I am somewhat lost for words. I do thank Peter for his kind remarks. I was slightly shaking my shoes because I didn't know what sort of information he'd be imparting to you, because as you know, these days, and we all suffer from this, there are endless calumnies abroad in the ether about all of us. So if you Google the name Lord Peter, and I know this because I've tried it, you come up with 46,900 hits, including such sites as Nina in Lord Peter's Bedroom, which I'm sorry to say is pretty well as bad as it sounds. Nothing to do with me. But Peter said that, kindly described me as a modest man. Clement Attlee said about someone, I can't remember who, that he too was a modest man, but mind you, he had plenty to be modest about. But indeed, I am Lord Lieutenant of the County, and as such, of course, I am the personal representative of Her Majesty the Queen in these parts. And hence, it is my job to do all those things which Her Majesty might do herself if only she had the time. Now, whether that permits me to say today that she sends her apologies, I'm sure she would have been here, but as you will be aware, she has got to get ready. She has got a wedding to get ready for, and there are an awful lot of sandwiches to make. Now, looking round the room, I guess that many of you will remember my distinguished predecessor, John Ruggles Bryce, and in fact, probably a lot of you were still under the impression that he was still in office. It's amazing when we get to our age how easily and unnoticed the years slip away. But he actually retired in 1978, but he is still held in the highest regard, and I do frequently have people coming up to speak to me about him in the warmest of terms, which of course is somewhat disconcerting because they seem to be saying, oh, those are the days, that's when we had a real Lord Lieutenant. But one has to get used to these slight faux pas, and particularly when I'm in uniform, misapprehensions. On at least two occasions, I have been mistaken for a senior member of the Salvation Army. And I do remember arriving to take the salute at some function rather early and managed to find out the person who appeared to be in charge, who said, oh, yes, you've come to do the first aid, haven't you? What hasn't happened to me was happened to a colleague of mine, the Lord Lieutenant of Herefordshire, some years ago, when arriving at the town hall in full fig for some function or other. He was stopped by the man on the door who said, "Oh no, mate, you can't come in here. The band are coming in round the back." But I think the only one that had me quite dumbfounded was when I, at some function or other, I was pinned in the corner by some lady who said, "Now, you're the Queen's consort." Well, nearly right, but not quite. Being Lord Lieutenant is a wonderful job. Participating in an astonishing diversity of engagements, varying from the solemn and moving through the jolly and convivial to, on very rare occasions, the rather embarrassing disasters. One of my responsibilities, of course, is organising royal visits which take place to the county, which can combine all three of those elements, but mercifully very seldom the last, because as it's so true about so many things about this county, we do royal visits rather well. Thanks, I may say, to my excellent team who helped me with this. But there are occasional mishaps, I have to confess. I do remember we narrowly avoided assassinating the Earl of Wessex. The situation was that he'd come to Thurrock on a Duke of Edinburgh's award visit, and all went well enough until we learned the following day that the firm that had supplied the sandwiches for the lunch has had to recall their entire product because of a listeria outbreak. So did we inform the Earl of Wessex? Like hell we didn't. But all was well. And then there was the time that the Prince of Wales was kidnapped. We were visiting Maltings at Mistley, which had been recently converted into flats, and as had been arranged, His Royal Highness was paying a call on one of the residents of the flats to have a cup of tea or something, and that went fine. And just as we were descending the stairs, a lady who was resident in one of the other flats erupted from her front door and grabbed the Prince of Wales and took him aside in order to lecture him on her particular hobby horse, which happened to be Mercury tooth fillings, which was difficult enough. But she wasn't satisfied by that. This, I may say, was before his marriage to the Duchess of Cornwall. She went on to say, "Sir, you will remember, I am sure, that I had the honour of sending you a wedding present on the occasion of your wedding to Lady Diana, and I'm sure you will recall that that present was a book on cystitis." I can't remember what the Prince's response to this, "Have you come far," wouldn't have really been adequate, really. The name of Marconi is still a very tangible part of the heritage of this town, and indeed the county as a whole. As you will be aware, the town sign still bears the legend, "Home of Radio," celebrating that famous occasion when Dame Nellie Melba came down to make a broadcast in 1920. Now, I know you know all this story, but it is such a good one. It bears repeating that when being shown round the station and the two enormous aerial towers, 450-foot aerial towers, were pointed out to her, and her guide explained to her that "From the top of the mast, your voice will soon be heard throughout the world." Her response was, "Young man, if you think I'm going to climb up there, you are very much mistaken." But then, of course, there is still the imposing tower mast just over the way there at Baddow that continues to mark out the Marconi Research Station, which lives on there. And what is now Selex, of course, continues to carry forward the tradition of technological excellence inherited for the original company. I'm sure everyone here will say, "Well, it's not quite the same," and of course it isn't. But I'm just trying to show that the memory lives on. The facade of the old factory in New Street survives, well, for the time being anyway, and you will all have seen the rather camp statue of Guglielmo outside the town's theatre. So, at this point, I was going to in contradiction to what Lord Prior said, bewail the sad loss to the town of the Marconi collection. But of course, we've had the wonderful news this week of the of what I might call the water's bequest to the town, which, by all accounts, and Peter assures me this is case, if anything, trumps the original selection, the original collection, and so that is indeed great news. So I'm delighted to be present at today's celebration, and all I can say is, may the tradition long continue.